Well, good evening. Good to see all of y'all back here. Glad to be in the house of God. We'll be in the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter number 1. Glad to have visitors with us this evening. Trust you had a restful afternoon. Remember to be diligent about the prayer 31, day number 9. And if you didn't get a book, I think there's a couple more books over here available. And then Brother Bill has been posting it faithfully to the Facebook page of the church and the website. So it's there. If you have your mobile device, you can go to those and see where we're at and pick it up. Don't forget to choir practice right after the church service, and then ladies meet with my wife afterwards if you're going to the retreat. Mark chapter number 1 is where we'll be at. And the fishers of men, if you are interested in that, if you're a man, please see Brother Hector or Brother Felipe or Brother Bill, and allow them to get your name on the list so they can start matching you up. And if you're a lady that would be interested in the Beautiful Brotherhood Mentorship Program, please see Sister Lois and see about getting your name on there so that they can match you up with somebody, a younger person. It's all taken out of Titus chapter number 2. Where the elder ladies and men of the church are to exhort and train up and help those of the younger sort to be able to walk closer with the Lord and helping them through that process. And you are supposed to reinforce what their parents are teaching them. And unfortunately, some of our parents that are involved in this are not even come to church. So you will have to do a lot of encouraging and exhorting in that aspect, because their parents, the end result would be that we would train the child to go home and be a great witness in front of their children, in front of their parents, so the parents would have, now what's going on with Susie? What's going on with Johnny? Something over there at the church, not brother Johnny. What's going on with Tommy? There's something going on with that church that I need to see what's going on. They are changing in their attitude, their life, you know, and so that's what it's all about. Is that we might make a difference in these young kids' lives and let number one. See them, if they're not saved, come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, that they would grow up discipled in the Word of God, knowing that there's a church family that cares about them. If you hadn't noticed, church is probably not on the priority list of a lot of folks anymore. Just sad to say, it's just not there. It's just kind of way down the list anymore. I'm certainly glad that God did such a wonderful thing with a local church that we can be joined together like this, fitly framed and put together so that we can make a difference in our community and around the world. And that's God's plan. This isn't something that we dreamt up just like, well, Sister Lois don't have nothing else to do. Maybe she'll work with little kids. Brother Hector's not busy, you know, and Brother Felipe, they don't have nothing. Maybe they can work with little kids. We don't dream up stuff just to fill voids. It is biblically based and founded, and so we want to do those type of ministries, you know. And that's what it's all about there. So if you would like to get involved, see those folks there. Mark chapter number 1. And I believe we let off in verse number 39 last week, somewhere around in that area. Mark chapter, maybe 29. There it goes. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. Let's read a little bit, and then we'll talk about the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 1, verse 29, the Bible says, "And forthwith, for they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of fever. And they called him, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues and throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away, verse 44, and saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, and so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. From every quarter. The Bible says here, verse number 29, that there was a house which he entered into. There in verse number 29, and forthwith when they were come into the synagogue, they entered into a house. It was Simon Peter's house. Now, over in Matthew chapter 4, if you would, I believe that Jesus probably spent many hours or days in this particular home. I believe it was kind of like a little satellite place that he would go in and out of, and he'd work in and out of. But Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 13, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says there, And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun, the land of Nephthim, and by the way of the sea beyond Jordan of Galilee, of the Gentiles. We flip over to chapter number 9, Matthew chapter 9, and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1. So he's out in Capernaum, and the Bible says here, And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. You remember last week we learned that he had kind of left Nazareth. He kind of just departed. Now he's down in Capernaum. Now he's entered into this house in verse 29. And the house is that of Simon Peter there. And there was a woman there who was sick. The Catholic Church kind of falsely states in their beliefs that Peter was the first pope. But on the other hand, they say that popes don't marry. So just their teaching, just telling you what they say. The Bible says there in verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. I ain't known no man ever to take a mother-in-law without the benefit of a wife. I'm just saying, I ain't running out and grabbing me no mother-in-law without enjoying the wife. But I'm going to tell you, mother-in-laws can be nosy. Mother-in-laws can just put their place, their hand in business that ain't none of theirs to belong. Now, if I got the benefit of a wife, I'd take a little bit of it. Small thimbleful of invasion from the mother-in-law. But no wife, no mother-in-law. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 so we get further proof of this here. And I'm not trying to cause no argument with you and your Catholic friends. I'm just here to tell you, Mary had other children. It's Bible. Peter had a wife. It's Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 5. Now, some of them will be upset. Now, if you go telling them this, you show them Scripture, don't be surprised if you are defriended. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 5, the Bible says there, have not we power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren in the Lord, and who? Cephas. Cephas is another name for Simon Peter. Peter had a wife. Peter was not the first pope of the Catholic Church. He was not. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, called by him, an apostle that was set first in the church. He was mighty of God. It's not diminishing his role. But you can't just dream up doctrine and teachings and then expect people to follow it and believe it if there's no backing of Scripture. There, so he's there in this house. He enters in the house of Simon Peter. This is probably, like I said, the dwelling place of Christ for probably many days and months. And, you know, he probably spent quite a few times. Matter of fact, he did a lot of work in Capernaum, Jesus did, there. But when he got there, there was this lady, she lay sick. She had a fever, and you know, in verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Now listen, this is absolute proof that there is a man code and a woman code. The Bible says he healed her of this fever. And immediately, he lifted her up and she ministered unto them. That's the difference between a man and a woman. If you and I, men, had a fever, we'd be laid sick for days and weeks and months, even if the Lord Jesus Christ come entered in there. Oh, Lord, we'd have covers pulled up of them. I'm sick. I got bone aches. Oh, my stomach hurts. Ladies, get up and just go to work. I mean, immediately the fever had left her and she ministered unto them. You know what we'd be talking about? Man, 5 days ago, Brother Bill, I was really sick. I can't hardly even go to work. I can't hardly even get around. Bones I'm aching, Brother Jim. I'm just hurting. I can't get over this. I'm weak. Ladies, just get up and go. Immediately, just start ministering unto them. Well, just to be honest with you, you can only milk something so long, man. 2 weeks gone past. It's time to quit milking it. Just get up and start working. Get back to be busy. Let it go till the next sickness comes around, because it will hit you first. It will hit you first. But he took notice that even the smallest of sickness, a little fever, Jesus was concerned about. You know, we read so much about it. We're going to get into it. Devils. I mean, casting out demons. Devils. When we get through with this little portion, the Bible said they came around the house and divers diseases he cast out. Then we get down there and we read about this leper that he cleansed. And we think, wow, all this in the make. And let me be honest with you, if I had leprosy, praise God, if he was to heal me, I'd be happy. But I wonder if we're just as happy when it's just a small little bit of fever. Got a little down. She wasn't able to minister, wasn't able to care, wasn't able to get around and care. Listen, God's concerned with you, no matter what your problem is. It is amazing that in this chapter, very first chapter, there's such a variety of things that Jesus is involved in. And he took note to have the Holy Spirit of God to write down that there was a woman, the mama of his wife, who was Simon Peter, had a fever. And Anna, that means quickly, verse 30. And Anna, they tell him of her. They quickly told Jesus. And he came and he took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Verse 30, they had concern. They had concern about a little bitty fever. She didn't tell Jesus she had a fever. It says that they tell him of her. They tell him of her. You know, sometimes I think we're guilty. Unless it's something really huge or really large, we don't mind care. We don't carry it to the Lord in prayer for others. I mean, somebody, and bless their heart, these folks that lost their house in the hurricane up there. Well, and I'm for it. Let's pray for it. Let's put it before the throne. But let's be sure that we understand something. God is concerned about those little kids' tests coming up this week. God is concerned about the stomach ache that you have over the worry of a bill that's coming due. He's concerned about the sparrow the field that he clothes, that today the grass is, tomorrow the sun comes out and it's burned. God's concerned. I don't know if you see the detail in Scripture, but this is our God letting us know. Look with me over in Psalms chapter 55. Psalms 55. And don't get me wrong, there is an urgency in prayer when it's great and vast. The hurricane coming, dear friend, I mean, it was a concern. I mean, I don't know how many people it has total death count over in Haiti right now, but it was, I mean, does anybody know? Is it like 800 and something? Over 1,000 now? I mean, that's amazing that, you know, that it was prayer. It needed prayer. I think today there's still 1 million people without power. Brother Ethan's still over there working. Brother Jimmy had to go over there and take down boards Saturday all weekend. They went over on Thursday and put up boards and come back Saturday. Look, it was a time for prayer. But don't get to the point where we're only praying about big things, because when the big things happen, we have not the faith to handle them. Amen. Psalms 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Philippians chapter 4, if you would, this evening. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, in verse number 6, the Bible says there, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I don't know if it was a selfish motive. I don't know, you know, And I did joke a little around about, you know, mother-in-laws and all that. It was all jokes. I don't mean nothing by it. If you're a mother-in-law sitting here tonight, you know, if you're nosy, God bless you. Get over it. Don't be nosy. But if you are or if you're not, it was just in fun. I don't know the reason right here why, but all of a sudden, Simon Peter's wife's mother lay sick of fever, and quickly they went and told him. I don't know if they liked her cathead biscuits. I don't know the reasoning. If it was just the fact that there was a sick lady in the house, they went quickly and said, Lord, here's a sick lady. She's got fever. And he healed her. He raised her up, and immediately she went to ministering and care for her. The point I'm trying to make is here, as small as the fever may seem today, I think nowadays they don't even tell you to bring the baby to the hospital unless it's like 104 for a long time. Is that right? Maybe that's just my thinking. I think maybe it's 106 in my kids. Yeah, my wife says, honey, they're sick. I said, they'll get over it. Give them something to eat. They'll let them vomit. They'll get over it. I don't know the reasoning. But for some reason or another, they wanted to tell Jesus about a fever. And Jesus stopped and he took care of the fever. You know what's amazing? That after the Sabbath set, verse 32, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed of the devils, and all the city together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of the divers disease and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up after healing all these people and being around all these sickness, being around all the depression, being around all the trouble, being around people that were possessed of the devil, in the morning rising up, and a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Amen. Dear friend, don't leave yourself out. You need spiritual renewal. Being around people that are hurting, being around people that are sick, being around people that are devil oppressed, it wears on you. It'll wear you out. It'll make you tired. And if you're not careful to get along with the Lord and renew your strength and find you a solitary place, just like the example here, fever, divers disease, devil's possession. Jesus stopped early in the morning, found a place for himself that he might pray. In the middle of your prayer, be very careful. Jesus, others, yourself, think about yourself last. Jesus, that's what Jesus did. He thought about himself last. Early in the morning, everybody else still asleep. All those people that were possessed with the devil, now they're gone. They're clean mind. They're good standing in their mind. They're not being oppressed. And those that were divers disease, they're asleep. Jesus found a place for himself. Don't forget to find spiritual renewal for yourself, because the sun's going to come up. And there's going to be some more sick people. There's going to be some more troubled people. There's going to be some people that with leprosy that come here, but there's going to be people day by day, hour by hour, that need help. And the only way you and I can help them is that we spend time alone with the Lord. I'll be honest with you, it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. If you're trying to do it in the flesh, trying to do it all on your own, trying to be a blessing to others, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, comes a time that you will just wear out. Burn up. Burn out. You'll get to the point, and this is where the devil wants you. You'll get to the point where you don't care who's sick. Not even yourself. Because you've weakened yourself spiritually. The Bible says this, ye which are spiritual. There's no way to be spiritual unless you walk in the Spirit. And you exercise your gifts that God has given you in the flesh long enough, soon enough, the flesh will tire out. Jesus found a place to come apart from the world, from the ministry, from those that he was trying to help, to spend time with just him and God. Find a place. The Bible says many were cured. Many came around. Many was there needing help. And just this is what happened. Listen. He refreshed himself. Peter showed up. The Bible says there what it says. And Simon, verse 36, and they that were with him followed after him. Isn't it amazing that you can influence people by spending time with God? Follow along. There it was. And this is what they said. Verse 37. And when they had found him, they said to him, all men seek for thee. And listen to what he said. And he said to them, let's go to the next towns that I may preach. Let's go to the next towns that I may preach. That was his aim. He came with a message. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. And he came and said, let us preach. Verse 39. And he preached in their synagogues and all of Galilee and cast out devils. His main purpose, dear friend, was not coming to cast out devils. His main purpose was not coming that he might heal the sick. His main purpose was that he'd come and be a ransom for many. And he wanted to preach the gospel. Repent. And he did the rest. That's why I'm telling you, dear friend, we better be careful with our ministries. Our ministries cannot be overweighted on the sociable side, leaving out the preaching. The preaching has to be the primary, with the sociable side connected. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the sociable side will wear you out. You know what Jesus said? You have to sit with you always. That's what he said. Sometimes we put our hearts, our eyes, our compassion moves us in the wrong direction. I told Brother Jimmy today. I said, listen, somebody comes to you and you need to share the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they might have alcohol problems. They might have drug problems. Dear friend, all the 12 steps in the world is not going to help them without Jesus Christ first and foremost. The primary has to be Jesus. All men seek you, Lord. He said, let's go to the next towns so we can preach. Let's go to the next towns so that we can do something with the gospel. That was his praying ministry, his preaching ministry, and his supreme purpose was that he might preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've gone all through there, and we come down to this one man, this leper. This leper who had leprosy. Verse 40, and there came a leper to him beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Isn't it amazing that this leper, he just started his earthly ministry. I don't know. I mean, word is spreading, pretty fast around. Matter of fact, verse number 28, the Bible says, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region of Galilee. That fast. And this leper here, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what did Jesus say in verse number 41? And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Now you have to understand something about this leprosy. Leprosy, dear friend, is a picture of sin that affects the lost person, and it affects them deeply. And the only way you can really understand is you understand this. Like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin. Go with me back to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. This is the leprosy test that God put forth. Leviticus chapter 13. Verse number 3. Now you know this. They would put lepers out. They would make them live without. They would have to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. They would take and leave food, and if they got some food, it was okay. There was one thing that looked that lepers faced, and that was one day they were going to die. A lonely death. For the wage of sin is death. I mean, this is where it is. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 3. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse number 3. The Bible says this. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair is in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be what? Deeper than the sin of his flesh. It is the plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look upon him and pronounce him unclean. Sin, leprosy and sin, listen dear friend, is deeper than the skin. When we see people living in open abomination and we see it with the eyes, that's just the results. The problem is within. The problem lies within the heart, and the heart is deceitful and deceitful above all. Who could know it? Seeing that we see outwardly, it's deeper. And to be honest with you, cleaning up the outward ain't never going to cut it. Oh, preacher, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to dress up right. I'm going to spruce up everything right. I'm going to cut this and I'm going to quit watching this and quit listening to that. I'm going to quit going here, and I'm going to make sure the outside. Leprosy and sin goes deeper than the skin.
Amen.
It's not an outward problem. We've got to get to the point where we realize this is, as Bible-believing people, that the problems I'm having that are sinful in my life is not outward. There's a problem with my heart. And that includes, even if I'm born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a heart problem. Has nothing to do with the outward. The outward is simply the results. It is the manifestation of a deeper problem. That my heart is far from God. I don't care how religious you speak. I don't care how spiritual you stand up and make yourself out to be. When your heart is far from God, it will manifest itself. The Bible says this leper man come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, if thou wilt. And Jesus was moved with compassion, the Bible says. And the Bible says, and Jesus touched him. That was uncommon practice, dear friend. Because we serve an uncommon God. He doesn't do things by the religious rite and traditions of men. And he touched a leper. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the problem with many folks that sit in our churches, that are full of sin that runs deep to the heart is that brothers and sisters in Christ are not moved with compassion and we're not willing to touch them where they are. We recoil. We pull back. Dear friend, the Bible says and makes it very plain and clear that Christ came to reconcile. Reconcile us back to God who did nothing wrong, by the way. God sent His Son to reconcile. That's the test. It runs deeper. Not only that, dear friend, leprosy spreads. Look at verse 5, chapter 13 of Leviticus. So we saw in verse 3 that it runs deeper. And then the priest says, you're unclean. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. Why? Because it runs deeper than the skin. Verse 5. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in its sight be at a stay, it means it hadn't moved, it hadn't spread, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. He's under quarantine now. Why is he under quarantine? Because just like a spiritual, outward spiritual person, eventually, the outward spiritual person will get faint at showing a facade, and it will show its true colors. Or he will, or she will. Because you can only walk so much in hypocrisy before other people pick it out. What's this? Verse number 6. He shut up 7 more days. Verse 6. And the priest shall look on him again the 7th day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is but a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see it, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Just like leprosy, sin spreads. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is the test. This is a leper. This is a man that was full blown in leprosy. I mean, it was stinching. It had running scabs and running sores. And Jesus looked at him and moved with compassion because this man came to Jesus, which was out of the ordinary. He didn't cry unclean. He knew he was unclean. He didn't have to be told he was a sinner. He realized he was a man that stood in need of Jesus. Amen. And with compassion, our Savior, the sinless Lamb of God, touched this leper. Like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin. Like sin, leprosy spreads. You and I cannot win the battle of sin, but Jesus defeated and paid the full price for the guilty, the innocent Lamb of God. He says in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all sin and all iniquity and all unrighteousness. Jesus is the answer. Verse 44 of the same chapter. Sin's leprosy goes deeper than the skin. Leprosy spreads. And leprosy defiles and isolates. And eventually, dear friend, if you will not allow Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the redemption, the ransom for all, if you will not allow Him, dear friend, your sin defiles and isolates you. It's what Jesus said. Listen to what God said in Isaiah. Said, it's not that I don't have an ear to hear. It's not that I don't have a hand that can reach. Your sin has isolated you and defiled you and stopped up my ear and curled back my hand. That's what he said in Isaiah. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44. The Bible says, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. Utterly unclean. His plague is in his head, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. His head bare. No, I don't have leprosy. His head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and cry, unclean. Listen, you can do what you want. You can live like you want. You can do whatever you want because that is the way God has made it. But Galatians 6, 7 is still in the Bible. You sow the flesh, and of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And your sin will eventually defile and isolate you. And that's what happens in church discipline, by the way. Eventually, your sin, you cling to it and you hang on to it until the church has to say no more. And there's a process, by the way. There's a process in that. But I think too many times we forget what the purpose of church discipline is, and it's restoration. And not destruction. Because there is a sin unto death. And the Bible says, I don't want to tell you in case you chase after it. Leprosy will defile you and it will isolate you. Dear friend, your sin, it's your right. But when the crop comes rolling in, don't cry for crop failure. Because you have chose that route. Because Jesus Christ paid for your sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So your sin will isolate you. Your sin will defile you. Verse 47. Of Leviticus chapter 13. So like leprosy, sin is more than skin deep. It's more than I've got this habit, I've got this, and I've got that, and I can't help. The problem is that it runs deep into the roots of the heart. It just like leprosy, it spreads. For instance, if I have a sin problem in one area and I will not allow the Lord to work in it, it don't just stay there. It starts affecting other areas of my life. It spreads through. See, some of us say, well, it's just this one little area. It's just my little secret. It's just me and it's only me that knows about this. Oh, dear friend, no. It spreads. And then it isolates. I'm convinced of this, dear friend, that when I live in sin, I believe that I withdraw from those which are willing to help me. I isolate myself. Give me an example, preacher, in my own life. As a young Christian, a young man, my wife and I were having much problems. My pastor came and tried to help and be a help, and I withdrew and I isolated myself from my own pastor. It didn't get any better by isolation either. I still had to give an account. I still had to own up and own where I was at with my life as a Christian. Backslidden, stiff-necked. And the Holy Spirit of God is my bed partner. Oh, I was miserable. I was miserable. But like leprosy, if I do not allow God Himself to handle it, it renders things fit for only fire. Verse 47. And the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be woolen garment or linen garment, whether it be in the wrap or woof of linen or of the woolen, whether in the skin or in the thing that made the skin, that the plague be greenish and reddish in the garment, or the skin, either in the wrap or the woof, or anything of skin, it is the plague of leprosy and shall be showed to the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut it up that hath the plague 7 days, and he shall look on the plague on the seventh day, and the plague may be spread in the garment, either in the wrap or in the woof or in the skin, or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy, it is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment. See, leprosy gets to the point that its only alternative is the fire. And it gets to the point, Christian, that if you continue in your sin, mercy and grace runs out, and it is the fire of the judgment of God. And we can't blame God because mercy has been extended. We can't look at God and say, God, you're unfair, when He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And here's this leper coming to our Lord Jesus. If thou wilt, thou can make me clean and whole. And Jesus touched that leper. Dear friend, in your sinful state, backslidden as you might be, my Savior, in all of His mercy, will touch and cleanse you. But you and I must go to Him. Peter came, Lord, all men seek you. And Jesus said, I'm going to another town to preach the gospel. And this man came to himself. He came to the Lord. And the Lord. So it doesn't matter how deep your sin runs. Doesn't matter how deep the sin has spread. There's always mercy and grace. Always. Mercy and grace. Until the sweet Lamb of God says, I've pruned. The Holy Spirit says, I've convicted. I've wooed. God says, I've given alternative, I've given chance, I've reached out, I've left the 99 and I've come after you, and I come and I come and I come. And one day God says, because of your unwillingness, I can do nothing more to help. I've done it all. and it's your choice. Boy, Mark, fever, Jesus was there. Demoniacs, Jesus was there. They've had religion for a long time now. The law had been in effect. The lambs had been slain, and the turtle doves had been slain, and sin was paid for year by year, rolled over by the sacrificial system of the Israelites, and it wasn't enough. But here's Jesus, the Lamb of God, and He touched him. Verse 44, Mark chapter number 1. And He said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. Don't say nothing, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. See, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. The law said that you must go show yourself to the priest. We just read almost the whole entire chapter of Leviticus, and it had to do with the priest. And offer thy cleansing, those things which Moses commanded for a testimony. Unto who? Unto them. Unto them, the religious people. Go to the priest to take the offering and offer that so that the religious people might know that I am the Son of God. Verse 45, and he went out and began to publish it much. And to blaze abroad the matter so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without the desert place. And they came from every quarter. I don't know if this man made it to the leper's house, made it to the priest or the temple. I don't know. It doesn't say. I do know. The Bible says he went out and began to publish it. See, you and I, dear friend, we had more than leprosy. We were alienated from God. When Jesus saved our soul, He made us part of His family. Have we published it so much, what Jesus has done for us? Or are we like in another portion of Scripture, like the 9 lepers who went their way and the one came? I don't know how you are in your life. But I hope tonight you saw a picture of sin and leprosy and what Jesus did for that leper. He did twice and much more for you and I if we're sitting here saved. Have you told anybody what Jesus has done for you? Father, I love you. Lord, I know I went a little longer tonight than normal, but Lord, it was such an important passage. What a picture. Jesus, the spotless Lamb, touching a leper. Oh, I thank you for the day that you saved my soul. Help me never, ever to forget it, or to grow cold, complacent. Help me to blaze it. Help me to publish it. Help me to do my part to tell people what you have done for me and you will do for them. In Jesus' name, amen.